Let's hit it rolling now. Let's earn this thing today.
So Whiskey in the Day.
That's a pass. Steps up. Deep. Looking for Santana Moss. He's there. He catches it. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Redskins.
Now, here's Cooley and Cabin.
Redskins at 8, brought to you by Farish Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in the heart of Fairfax. Kevin Sheehan, Chris Cooley, and the new head football coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay, in studio with us. Back in town. Congratulations to you.
I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on, Kevin. You guys have always been good to me, and I wanted to be able to join you guys one last time before I head out to L.A.
I'd ask you just this. As the job was offered, what was your emotions? What went through your mind in that moment? Because it's something you strive for. They said, Sean, we're going to offer you the job.
Yeah, it's humbling, it's flattering, and it's something that you're very excited to attack the challenge. You know, you go out there for a couple days, and you kind of have an intuition. Things are going well. You don't really know until Mr. Kroenke looks at you at breakfast on, I guess it would have been Thursday morning. He says, you ready to do this thing? I said, absolutely. You know, he's a great guy. Getting to know him over the last couple days, you can see you can feel his passion and commitment to trying to bring a winner to the city of L.A., and I'm excited to be able to work for him and get it going with the rest of the people in that organization.
So I've thought for the last couple years, and I've said for the last couple years, that you're going to be a head coach and that you would be a head coach very soon. Now, you get caught up in the process of being a coordinator and the job that you have to do, and the ultimate goal, I think, is to be a head coach. But did you think that this was a reality this year?
You know, I don't think you ever really, like you said, you're so caught up in trying to do a great job with your role for your current team, and that was trying to be the best offensive coordinator I could be for the Redskins and seeing how we could be productive offensively. The thing that you do that I was most surprised at, I guess you could say, going through the interview process is, you know, it felt more conversational than anything, you know, a sharing of your core beliefs. And that really was that way with both the Rams and the 49ers. Both of them, you know, I thought they were very smoothly run, you know, first-class organizations. And I enjoyed being able to spend time with both organizations and kind of going through that interview process, learning about what that entailed. And it was a great experience.
As you prepared for this interview, I think anybody that knows you'll talk ball at a level that they've never really understood. But you had to know going in, your core beliefs, not football beliefs, were going to be really important and weigh in their decision. Your platforms on leadership, how you run an organization, how you deal with the media, how much work went into prepping for that? And really, if you're kind of summing up what you are as a head coach, not as a football guy, what'd you tell them?
Well, I think really what you end up, you know, feeling very fortunate about is, you know, I can kind of mention it the other day, is when you're around great leaders of men, you know, where you see what it looks like to be a Super Bowl winning head coach, working for guys like John Gruden, Mike Shanahan, you know, watching Jay continue to do a great job in this role as he accumulates that experience. You know, you want to take a little bit from each guy, but still make it your own. So I think it's figuring out how we're going to implement our culture in L.A. You know, what do we feel like is going to be conducive for being able to sustain success over periods of time. Those were things that Kevin Demoff and Les Snead, we all shared a similar vision, and that's why I think the fit seems very comfortable, excited to get to that challenge. But, you know, those are the things that conversation, you know, what you're talking about and how you lead, teach, and motivate, because that's what it's all about, is helping players reach their highest potential. That's what we feel dictates and determines what a great coach is, and that's what we hope to do there.
Yeah. Sorry, Kevin. One quick thing. Was it tough? You've been with the Redskins for 7 years now. Was it tough to stand at that press conference and say, this is what it means to be a Ram? And not in a bad way, in a way to say Ram, not Redskin. Was that hard to get out of your mouth?
Yeah, you know, you get comfortable. You know, you've been here for 7 years, so it's something that definitely will take some getting used to, but we're excited about the challenge. And, you know, I've had so many great experiences here and a lot of great relationships that I've been able to develop and a lot of people I'm going to miss, but I'll continue to keep in touch with them, and it'll just have to be from the West Coast now.
We're talking to Sean McVay, new head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. You know, anybody that's ever talked to you on or off the air knows how smart you are, how engaging you are. Cooley has said for over a year now, probably close to 2 years, Sean's going to be a coach one day. He's going to be a head coach, and it's going to be soon. Did you think it would come so soon, the opportunity?
you know, it's like we were talking about earlier, Kevin. You never really know when that opportunity is going to present itself. It was one of those situations where it kind of catches you off guard because we had full expectations that we were going to take care of business against the Giants and then probably be ready to go out to Seattle. So your mindset is fully focused on that. Then actually after the game, you know, you're disappointed, you know, thinking about what play calls could I have made differently that maybe would have affected the outcome of the game. And then your agent Bob Lamont calls and he says, the Rams and the 49ers want to bring you out for an interview. How soon can you do it tomorrow? I said, Bob, how about let's wait at least until Wednesday where I can process all this. But it's been a whirlwind, and it really wasn't until last night where things start to slow down and you realize that this is a reality. It's something that it's going to take a lot of work, but we're excited to get going and very, very fortunate for the opportunity.
All right, we want to get to some of the things that you're going to be dealing with out in Los Angeles. A few things about here in Washington. First of all, is there a moment to you that sticks out as the most memorable and maybe also a moment that you sort of regret and wish that you could have another chance at fixing?
Well, you know, looking at it right now, I think the thing that stands out is being able to win a division championship, you know, back in 15, you know, going to Philly when we had to play, you know, we knew if we won, we were going to be able to do that. And the feeling in the locker room, that's the thing that you love about this game. There's nothing like sharing that joy of winning, achieving a goal together. And that feeling in the locker room after a game is why you do this. It's one of the reasons why you do this, should I say. And then, you know, something that you regret, certainly, you know, the last play call that I made here. You look at it didn't work out for us. Coach Spagnuolo ended up playing two-man. It wasn't probably one of the better plays that we could have given Kirk and our players in that situation. And you always ask yourself, what could I have done to help our players have a better chance for success? So that's definitely probably the decision that stands out. I appreciate you bringing that up, Kevin.
Well, let's get to Kirk. And I think a lot of people have credited you for a lot of the success Kirk's has. You'd worked with him since he'd been here. And the idea around Kirk right now is not that he can't make all the throws, that he can't do the things of the quarterback, but that maybe he can't win the big game or that he can't be the leader, you know, the persona that guys like Rodgers, Favre, Brady have. Can he grow into that persona?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question in my mind. I mean, you look at his body of work over the last 2 years. I mean, these guys that are great players, they have a long resume where they've accumulated that experience. They've gone through and been able to have different things that have gone both good and bad. And I think anytime you look at somebody that's successful, one other thing that they've probably had to do is overcome some sort of adversity. And that's an inevitable part of this game. It's an unfortunate part of the game, but it is something that I think when you look at Kirk over the course of his career and really throughout his life, he's been a guy that's continually responded to challenges in a way that makes you believe in him. When you're around somebody like this, you see the work ethic, you see the intrinsic motivation that he has, and you see just how important it is. It's why you love, you know, doing what you do as a coach, and he's an example of a player of why I got into this in the first place. And, you know, that's what we're hoping to be able to do with golf out there in L.A.
To someone inside the organization, Sean, or outside of it, that would say, you know what, I'm not so sure about Kirk and him being the long-term guy, you would say what?
I would say when you think about what you want a quarterback to be, you know, from an intangible standpoint, first of all, he's off the charts. This is a guy that does a great job developing relationships with people. Football's important to him. He's a great representation of the organization. And then when you look at what he is on the field, this is a guy that can make all the throws. I think he's a lot more athletic than people give him credit for. And he is tough. He'll sit in there, doesn't watch the rush. And I think when you just look at what he's been able to do in his first 2 years as a starter, the production is very impressive. And I think his resume speaks for itself, and I think there's a lot of reasons. I could go on and on about my support for Kirk Cousins and feel fortunate to have been able to work with a guy like that, especially over the last couple of years.
I think one of the things as a fan that's hard to realize is what actually goes on in an organization, the way things are planned, the way things are handled and scheduled, coaches' relationships. And when it comes to that, a lot of people believe in Jay Gruden. He's got a couple years left, and a lot of people are still not sure. To me, it's insane. You've had a couple winning records. But, Sean, what makes Jay Gruden a great head coach?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that really has stood out to me that I think he's a great leader, but one of the things that I've really noticed about him that, you know, I hope to emulate in L.A. is he does a great job of empowering his assistants, letting his coaches coach, and I think it really represents a security and a confidence that he has in himself and what that does and how that creates a culture where everybody feels a sense of loyalty and accountability to him, to our organization and Mr. Snyder, it's really something that watching how that's kind of taken place over the last couple of years has been something that as a leader, you know, you're like, man, I really look at that. What a great quality that Jay has that, you know, I think it's something that I can continue to try to improve on. And if we're able to do that, I think we'll be able to have some success. And I think that's a big reason why we know we're not where we want to be or they're not doing the things that they want to do here. But you can clearly see that the arrow is pointing up for the Washington Redskins organization with Jay Gruden leading the way.
We're talking to Sean McVay. And first of all, thanks. You hired the guy that I thought we should hire as the defensive coordinator. So we really appreciate you taking our guy and Wade Phillips. But when it comes to some of these coaches that you're hiring, and Wade, for example, probably younger than all of them. Talk about this interview process with some of these guys and the experience that you're bringing into your staff and what that means.
Well, I think it's really important when you're looking at what we want for LA Rams coaches. We want great teachers, leaders, and motivators, but we also want great men. And these are guys that I've been fortunate enough to develop and build relationships with over time. You see when things don't go well, how they respond from adversity, able to keep an even-keeled manner when things do go well. And I think, you know, the relationship that I've been able to develop with Wes over the last couple years has allowed me to get to know Coach Phillips a little bit better. This is a guy, when you look at his track record, his resume speaks for itself. So it's really not much of an interview process. It's more along the lines of, hey, really respected the way that you've coached, led men over the last couple of years. So if you want to be a part of this thing, I'd love to have you and get an opportunity to work with you. And when that opportunity presented itself, it was something that we felt very excited about, being able to get a coach of his caliber on our staff.
Speaking of your staff, a lot of people have speculated here locally, especially a few people on this show, that Chris Cooley could potentially be a member of your staff.
Look at him
shaking his head. What do you mean I'm such an idiot? I'm just curious as to whether or not Sean thinks of you as a potential coach one day in this league.
I don't think there's any question that Chris would be a great coach. He understands the game. He's a good communicator. The only thing I've always told him is when you look at any time you get around elite players, they don't have the patience sometimes that is necessary because they think everybody can do it like they were able to, if there was any knock. But Chris, I think he has all those things that you talk about you're looking for in a great coach. I think it would translate well.
You hired Joe Barry right away. Right away. Joe Barry did not have a good defense here in Washington. He did not have a talented defense, and we don't have to get into whether that was right or wrong. It happened. What do you like in Joe there?
Yeah, it continues to reiterate the same qualities. I think Joe's a great communicator. I think he's a great motivator. I see Joe that he's a guy that I've really leaned on the last couple of years. I know that him being able to draw on some of the experiences that he's had has been very beneficial from some advice and perspective he's been able to give to me from having worked with him these last 2 years. And I think he brings an energy and a juice to the practice field that we want to be able to carry over in L.A., and I know he's looking forward to working with some of the great players we have on that roster there.
Let's talk about some of the players you have on the roster really quick. I think the most important position is going to be the quarterback position.
Sure.
One, what did you see in Goff? And two, how important, how much was it emphasized that you are able to bring Goff along and develop him?
Well, I think, you know, that's the goal. That's what you hope to be able to do. Being able to work with a great player like Kirk over the last couple of years, you feel like you understand the importance of that relationship, you know, feeling like, hey, we're going to do this together, give you a chance to find out what do we do best, what can we do to fit your skill set to our offense. And when I look at Jared and I study his tape going back to Cal and some of the things that he did last year, you're seeing a guy very similar to Kirk, where I don't think there's any limitation in the throws that he can make. You can change the launch point with him. I see a guy that took some tough shots this year, and I like the way I watched him respond in games. There was a couple plays he made in the New Orleans game that really excited me. Some throws, you know, I see him check versus a zero blitz where he gets to a max pro and he hits Tavon Austin at the number three spot on a corner. So there's some things that excite you that when you watch the tape, getting around him, you can feel he's challenged in the right way to respond in year two, and I can't wait to be able to start to work with him, figure out what he does best, and fit our scheme towards our player's strengths, and starting with him.
You know, I mentioned Cooley, and obviously Goff is the number one overall pick. That's the guy that you're going to be charged with the responsibility of developing, but I loved Sean Mannion at Oregon State. We talked about him a couple of times on this show, and I mentioned Cooley a couple of times over the last couple of weeks when you were interviewing for the job. I said, ask Sean if he likes Sean Mannion. What do you think of him? him.
You know, I agree, Kevin. He was one of those guys coming out of Oregon State. You could watch him play underneath the center. He played a bunch of years as a starter. It seemed like he played there for 15 years.
But, right.
He's a guy that he was a good evaluation because a lot of the things that you would ask an NFL quarterback to do, the play action game, the quick game, 5 and 7 step, all from underneath the center, progression-based concepts. He was an easy evaluation, and I thought he was a very good, polished college quarterback that got better and better. They feel good about him in that organization. Talking to Les Snead, I think there's a lot of characteristics and traits that you like about him. Heard he's a great guy. Haven't had a chance to meet Sean yet, but I think you see a lot of things that you look for in a quarterback, and he was one of those guys that was an easy evaluation from a translation standpoint because he was doing a lot of the things you would ask a guy to do within the framework of an NFL system.
Look, I don't know how Goff and Mannion are and personality-wise how it goes, but you were part of a dynamic where there were two quarterbacks here and one in Kirk Cousins that had been drafted late and one in Robert Griffin that had been drafted the second overall pick. Is that scary for a quarterback? Would that be scary for a guy like Goff? And how much do you have to assure him, you're our guy, you're our guy?
Well, I think what you want to be able to create in L.A. is a competitive environment. You sit up there and you preach competitiveness. These are the best players in the world that we're dealing with. And one of the things that you do realize is they understand and they're at practice. They know what goes on. So I think it's important that we figure out and find out who are our best players that are going to give us a chance to win on Sundays. That's all that really matters. You want to do it the right way. Respect the process and the standard that we'll put in place to try to achieve those things, but it is a production-based business and you are judged by wins and losses, and that's our goal. And if we feel like our best players, no matter who they are the ones that do that, that's who will be playing for us.
You know, you say that, and I wonder, do you feel that a lot of the criticism, constructive criticism of Kirk from fans and elsewhere, comes from the fact that he was taken in the fourth round and there was another guy taken much earlier? Do you think that that's been sort of a hard position or hole for him to climb out of?
You know, I don't necessarily know. I think you end up earning that respect by the way that you produce year in and year out. You know, you look at a guy like Tom Brady, he's a 6th-round pick. It seems like that's something where you just look back and you say, how could he be a 6th-round pick? So I think as you have that experience, you earn the credibility around the league and with people that, you know, whether it's the media, fans, however it is, it's a production-based business. When you produce, I think you earn that respect, and I think he's been able to do that over the last couple years where you talk about Kirk Cousins when you talk about the good quarterbacks around this league.
Who's the comp? I'm curious as to what Sean thinks the upside comp for Kirk is. Like, people will say, I think he could be Drew Brees one day, or others think that he's somewhere where he is right now in the Alex Smith, Andy Dalton category. I'm talking about on the downside when people are critical of him. What do you think his upside comp is? Who is it?
Well, I think he's a guy you can absolutely win a championship with. It's interesting you talk about it, Kevin, because what I do think's important is when you're a conscientious guy like Kirk Cousins is, you always say, well, I want to be like this. What I think is important for Kirk to remember, and what I would tell any great player, is you certainly want to take nice qualities and aspects of other guys' game, but remain true to yourself. You look at when he was playing at such a high level at the end of 15, Kirk Cousins was playing the best Kirk Cousins football, and that was good enough to be considered one of the top guys in the league. So I think it's important to never lose perspective of what are your strengths, and then those weaknesses, let's evaluate ourselves and figure out how we can continue to improve our overall game. It's what's going to allow us to be the best quarterback for the Washington Redskins or whoever that team might be.
Is it hard for players right now to evaluate weaknesses? Has that changed over the last 10 years in the NFL?
I think any time, you know, I don't necessarily know players in the NFL, but people in general, you know, it's not easy to look at yourself and be critical. And I think that's where it's very important to find ways to, you know, understand how to get that communicated so that it can be constructive. It can be something that can allow you to grow instead of prohibit you from being able to make those changes necessary to improve overall. And, you know, you hear me talk about it all the time. It's about continuous improvement. You either get better or you get worse. You never stay the same. And that's what we'll strive to do in LA. That's what we tried to do here in Washington, and it's all about never feeling like you have all the answers, constantly seeking out that growth and improvement, and when you surround yourself with great people, things like that have a chance to be accomplished.
We wish you the best of luck.
Kevin Sheehan, I have one more quick question, then I have two things for you. Last question for me in football-related world. You work closely with this entire offensive staff, and it's been rumored that Kavanaugh would become the offensive coordinator. What do you see in Kavanaugh? Because you work with this guy every day.
Yeah, well, when you look at Matt Kavanaugh, he's been a great resource for me. I see a guy that has had experience. He's been offensive coordinator for a Super Bowl winning team. He's been a great example of that even keel demeanor. I thought his experience as a player was something that was great for him to be able to relate to our players, and sometimes even be able to say to me, you know, Sean, this might be a little bit more difficult, or I like how this is set up to put the quarterbacks in position to succeed. And very thankful for the opportunity to have worked with him the last couple years. I think he's a great teacher. He's a great leader, and I certainly don't think you can go wrong if that's the direction that Jay and the Redskins decide to go.
All right, here, I'm going to finish with this. My advice to you moving forward, do not get on TMZ. TMZ, bad for a head football coach, and a favor. You're not going to need any of your Redskins stuff. Can I have all your old jackets?
Yes, you can.
All right, done. Sean McVay, everybody. Thank
Sean,
you.
Sean, good luck.
We're so proud of you here. Yeah. We wish you the best, man.
Thanks. I love you guys. Thanks, Kevin. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed spending time with you at Cooley's event last summer.
That was a lot of fun, and we really do. You've got the biggest fan sitting right next to you, and everybody here that's watched you really wants you to do well, except for one game next year.
I think
you know
everybody.
You play the Redskins
in the
next
DC,
year.
Oh, yeah. You bet I know that we play the Redskins next year coming out to the L.A. Coliseum. I can't wait.
Good luck. Thanks, Sean, so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Sean McVay, everybody. We'll discuss when we come back. Cooley and Kevin on 980.